Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kids series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live over on Crowdcast. We're live over on YouTube. We're coming to you later a bunch of places as well. Spotify, Stitcher, your grandma's house, other places like that.
Yeah, we've tuned into your grandma's transistor radio, and we are broadcasting like a bunch of ghosts out of her.
And her metal plate, the metal plate in her head. But wherever you're tuning in, yeah. Why does that keep happening every week? I honestly don't know. You know what we need? Resolution. We need a producer. We're going to make it happen this year.
Wow. Too much behind the curtain, Alex.
Oh, are you saying that just because Pete is frozen and I messed up the sound cue at the top of this?
Yeah, let's be honest. I'm producing this shit. Ready? And we are go for talking about the drink of the week.
Well, the drink of the week is a good old-fashioned. As frequent listeners slash viewers might know, Brett Macris, our CBC chef, has been curating drinks every single week for the show. This week, he curated Mitch Gerads, famous author, yes. Famous artist's unique old-fashioned. Did you end up going with the exact recipe that Mitch recommends?
Mine's a little lighter.
I
made the drink. I just substituted tequila for the bourbon and then a triple sec for the simple syrup and lime juice for the bitters.
Ooh. Oh, wow. That's a really interesting take on an old fashioned.
It's old fashioned. Well, here's the thing. My wife and I are doing a margarita night later on, and I wanted to make sure to preserve that, so I made myself a margarita to kick it off.
Very nice.
You know? And Mitch, cool. I'll catch up with you maybe tomorrow with that drink, or yes, tomorrow
morning. I did actually make an old-fashioned. I didn't have a lemon peel at home. That's part of the recipe. But hey, I always love a good old-fashioned.
Substitute tequila.
Tequila and all of the recipes for a margarita. There you go.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that frequent listeners of the show might know is we have been asking you folks if you can drop recommendations of books you would like us to review, older books preferably, or things we missed or things we're revisiting.
Older books.
Older books like the Bible or the New Testament or the Gideon's Bible or literally.
No, thumbs down.
Books that maybe we haven't revisited in a while or haven't checked out at all. We'll be getting some great suggestions from you guys again in the iTunes comments. This week on our Stack podcast, we're going to be reviewing one of those, which is Spider-Man the Other, a book that, frankly, I had completely forgotten about. So I'm excited to chat with you guys about it on the Stack podcast. But we have a new request to read out here. This is from Kelso Nell on iTunes. Really enjoy all the shows, podcasts these guys put out week to week. Very fun, funny, and always entertaining. IMO. Please review Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1 if you can.
Ooh.
I'm almost done, and I'd love to hear your thoughts too. You got it, Kelso Nell. We will review it week's Stack podcast, but next week's Stack podcast.
Next week we will do it, and I can guarantee that one of us will like exactly half of that book.
Yep.
And that's Pete, and that's just the turtly part.
Well, I don't know. I haven't read the book. Maybe the Power Rangers are also turtles in this continuity.
Whoa. That's true. And let's be honest. Aren't they basically the same thing?
Oh, come on,
different,
man.
It's just slightly different
How
costumes.
How dare you?
Yellow Ranger does machines, right, I believe?
Oh, what is that?
Well, anyway, if you got a request, drop it in the iTunes comments. We would love to check them out. It's been very fun revisiting books that we wouldn't necessarily be reviewing. And we are going to bring in our first guest into the stream. He is the creator of the new Kickstarter, Deadbeats and Miscreants. His name is Rich Wosicki. And it is very cool, very fun project that I'm very excited to chat about. Ladies and gentlemen, Rich, hello.
Hey.
Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, everybody. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for chatting about the Kickstarter. Now, you are in not exactly the final days. You have a little more than a week at this point as we're going. But how's the kick? Just as before we even get into the book, what's the experience of the Kickstarter been like for you so far?
It's interesting. You know, it's I did a Kickstarter once before years ago for a web series with a couple of friends of mine. They had we had a small production company, and it was a lot easier with four or five people than it is with one.
That is true.
It's just been it's been intense, and I've kind of like I built up to it for months, and even just doing it, it's like every day there's something new. You know, it's just like, oh, I forgot this, or I could reach out to this, or like, you know, every path leads to an entirely new one. And part of me kicks myself for being like, oh, why didn't I think of that before? But of course, yeah. You know, you just figure it out. It's like
those are the kicks in Kickstarter. It's kicking yourself.
Yeah.
Well, it's also it's a learning experience, right? Like, obviously, it's a harrowing learning experience because you're watching that money tick by and either you're going to meet it or not. But at the same time, like, you get stuff you can take away from it and then you can apply potentially to further experiences or to the experience that you're doing right now, like you're saying.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like, most of these things I never go to prep for. Like, I never would have thought of doing, or I just completely wouldn't have thought of at all. And
well, not to give away the farm, but for anybody who might be considering doing a Kickstarter, what's one of the things that you never would have thought of?
Well, I mean, even contacting you guys was something that for some reason I didn't think of. Like, I went to a comic review sites and I was like, oh, that's the way to do it, right? And it's like, no, there's a whole world of podcasting. I listen to podcasts constantly. Of course, that's an option to do. And like, even when you guys reached me back, I was just like, oh, that's crazy. Because I've just been listening to y'all for so long that it just like, I was like, it just didn't think of it at all. It was like, no, it's beyond me. You know, like that's for real comic creators and all that stuff. And me just kind of pigeonholing myself in this independent
We have room. We're sick of each other. We're ready for new, fresh voices in here.
Yeah.
So please bring us some opinions.
Well, part of the reason we wanted to have you on, though, and thank you for the kind words, is it's a very fun project, and it's clearly a labor of love for you.
Oh,
how long has this idea been batting around in your head at this point?
I mean, honestly, like over 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's been something that I've just jotted notes. Like it started as just character studies where I was just like, hey, can I make like 10 people to occupy a book? And it after a while, it's like, yeah, there's a few, like not all of them are winners, but there's definitely a couple of characters that I gelled with or that seemed to really grow on me.
Well, lay out the premise before we get too much further, just so everyone can check out these characters and know where they are.
Yeah, sure. It's about the main character's name is Kelly, so I'm kind of giving him like a boy named Sue vibe from the get-go.
Right.
he's got a definite chip on his shoulder and isn't where he wants to be, which is basically just working at a comic shop with like a bunch of his friends. And he's just like really kind of hit a wall in life. He's really stunted himself. And then he, through these evil characters that kind of just like come in, these real like pieces of shit, it like just jumpstart his excitement about this item, which is like the main MacGuffin of the book. It's almost like it's a magical pen that's almost like a Green Lantern ring. Or what I always compare it to is it's the giant pencil from Duck Amuck, the old Looney Tunes cartoons, mm-hmm. you know, where you can just like create whatever out of thin air. And then, except to like, unlike a Green Lantern ring, you're stuck with everything. Like you make something, it's there, it's permanent. It's a future. So, yeah, it's like how this kind of like reinvigorates him to kind of like take control of his life and to do something with himself. But also like it leads him down this entire adventure that he was in no way prepared for or was not expecting to ever happen.
And so the Kickstarter, if I was reading it right, is 6 issues plus some ancillary material. Mm-hmm. At this point, what have you created going into it? You have a couple of strips, right? Sort of setting up the premise.
Yeah, I just to see if like once I did all my character designs and saw that that was something and started building the world to it, I did these test sheets that I just call the Lucy's now because they were just one page. Like I saw them as large Sunday comics. Nice. Where it was just like, you know, all right, can I personally make a comic? Can I make it interesting? Can I like have like interesting panel choices or really put my own imprint on it? And I did that for about a year. I had about 16 pages at the end. And I was like, you know what? Like I had written 2 full scripts. And then I was talking to my friend Demetrius, who runs Anyone Comics. He was just like, you're the weirdest artist I know. Every artist I know draws everything first and then it just makes shit up as they go. You're the first guy I know who has like, because I wanted to do all 6 scripts at once. And then start the book. He's like, just fucking do it, man. Like, just why are you torturing yourself? Yeah, exactly. So I just jumped into it. Like, even the script I'm just finishing up, which is, right now it's with my letterer, issue 2. I'm still working on the last minute inks, and the book itself is constantly evolving, but like next book is the one that's I have no script for right now. I have a million notes. They're all organized to their specific folders per issue. But it's exciting, you know, but it's also like I've spent now 2 years drawing this book like nonstop. Wow. So I have much better feel for it. Like the style of it is evolved. The characters are more solid. This is all I want to do, really.
It's great though. I think it shows in the work. It's like the art's super refined. It feels like the characters are like fully realized. The pen feels like maybe a metaphor for you getting that book done.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's a lot of crazy weird shit that happens in this book, but it is 100% based on life.
And I love to get back to the Kickstarter of it all. It sounds like you're getting past one of the big things that people do incorrectly about Kickstarter, which is you already have a bunch of stuff in the can. Like a lot of people are like, since Kickstarter is all or nothing in terms of the money, they're like, well, I'll wait to do it until I get the money. But the fact that you're going to do
it might work out though. My moon Kickstarter for the moon base I want to build is like doing pretty well so far.
You keep asking me for money and I'm bone dry at this point, Justin.
There's a lot of great incentives like living in the moon base once I figure it out.
No, I know. I keep pledging higher and higher levels, but it's just me at this point. You have one supporter.
I only want one. One backer. My friend, Alex.
Oh, that's very nice. I can't wait to live on the moon with you, like Gene and Scott and Wolverine.
Yep. Pete's our Wolverine if you could just get on board.
Pete, pledge the Kickstarter. You can do it. Anyway, back to Rich's Kickstarter, though.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, though, I think it's great that you're getting ahead because that really provides proof of concept for people of like, yeah, I'm going to pledge this thing and I'm not going to never see anything. You actually have stuff done. So that's super smart. That's great to hear.
Oh, thanks. Like, yeah, I'm such a like I'm just a workhorse when it comes to this. Like if I start something, I will just like, I mean, you can ask my wife. Every night it's just me sitting next to her watching TV, but I'm just drunk.
You know, well, we got some great news. Your wife is here on the street.
Bring her into the street. Oh, she misses you. She says, put down the pen.
Please stop with the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
My dog,
watch this show with me.
Kicking the shit. Yeah. Okay, yeah, there's only so much Australian Survivor I can watch before I just shoot out mentally.
Whoa, what? She's in her deep specific. On Aussie Survivor? That's like, she's clearly addicted to mainline Survivor and is just trying to get another fix.
Oh yeah, no, it's I mean, I know that the last season just ended, but even still, it's just like, when's the next one? When's the next one? How much of this do we have to get to until the next season is back?
Wow, so curious. Are they more extreme down there? Probably.
Kind of, yeah. Like the physical activities are crazy, and the just hearing everybody talk like all at once, it makes me spill out the worst Australian accent that I fucking imagine. Yeah, like I just and I know he's from New Zealand, but I turn into, what's his name? Rhys Darby from Flight of the Conchords.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like it's just all like, oh, we're present here. Hello, Rhys. You know, like, not how anyone sounds on the show.
Brit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Nice. To get back to the book for 1 second at this point. So again, sorry, guys. So again, you got buy right now, depending on when people listen to the podcast. Eventually, it'll be less than this, but you have about 9 days left. People can pledge it. If they pledge the Kickstarter, what do they get? Do they get the full book at this point, all 6 issues plus the ancillary stuff?
Oh, yeah. I've got it set up so like my reward timeline is basically based on when I expect the sixth book to come out. Like if I hit the numbers I'm looking for, it's like, it's essentially that, you know, that buys me the time to sit down and really just pump this thing out. So you know, through some tiers you get digital copies, which are just like, right now I have a kind of pay what you want thing. I'm a big fan of Panel Syndicate, so I'm hoping that just gets it out there a little bit more. But also the individual issues, collected volume. I have some push goals. We're hoping to get hardcovers, but you know, like I check out the pricing and everything. We're sticking with the paperbacks right now. We'll see how that goes. But well, yeah, this is to like all for the first story arc. Like you'll get like a complete story as soon as it's done, and you know, opening up the doors for the next chapter.
Well, it sounds hilarious. Love the character design. I really hope you meet your goals, because I definitely want to see this collected. It looks really awesome.
Pledge is Kickstarter. Really support Australian Survivor.
That's not what it is, but support this Kickstarter anyway. Rich, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with everything. Fingers crossed. We're hoping it comes through.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Yeah.
Take care, man.
Great to have you, man.
I'll be continuing to watch the rest of the show.
Nice.
Yeah. Once again, the project is called Deadbeats and Miscreants. It's from Rich Wosicki, and it's up on Kickstarter right now, unless you're listening to this 10 days from now, in which case, it's a successful Kickstarter.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's nice.
Yes. We'll see what happens.
Pete, really, you ducked out when we were talking earlier. Your old fashioned looks a little weird to me. Is the color right on that?
I'm sorry. Old fashioned? What are you talking about?
The drink.
Is that an old fashioned Mountain Dew and vodka?
No,
that's a new fashioned.
A new fashioned. It's a, you know, it's vodka with a little soda water and just a splash of a lemon lime Gatorade. You know what I mean? Just a little flavor.
Just making it worse every week. Pickle juice. Kevin in the comments says, is that pickle juice? Because just so you know, that's the color for those only listening. It's the color of pickle juice, or real like Tom Hanks' character from Castaway, the day he got off the island.
I thought you were going to say, and this is a true fact, the original title of the Tom Cruise movie was The Color of Pickle Juice.
Yeah.
They changed it. Didn't work well with audiences. Let's bring in our next guest. He's incredibly talented creator, and his new book, Falcon Spear, is now on stands from Dark Horse. He's calling us all the way from the other side of the pond. So we thank him very much for staying up late. Warwick Johnson Codwell. Again, the book is called Falcon Spear, and it's based on a project that he did with Mike Mignola back in the day, but expands on that in a big way. If you haven't read the book already, again, it's been on stands for about a week, I think, at this point. Super fun, super good supernatural mystery. I'm excited to chat about it. What? Did you like my... killing for time. Thanks. Really, and thank you guys for your help.
It's like a formula. It was like a Formula One race. If they ran out of gas right when it started, almost immediately. And Formula One races don't have to go very far. It's just about going very fast.
Yeah, they're just using baby formula, right? That's why it's called Formula One.
Oh, yep. Wow. The first formula is baby formula. Formula One.
Very cool. I love that. What else do you guys love? What's going on with you?
I love how a couple of minutes ago I was like, you know, we've been doing this for long. We need new ideas. And Alex is desperately trying to think of one thing to talk to us about. You're like, what else do you love? Like a job interview where you can't find your resume.
So I see you've been with this company for 15 years. Where are you looking to go in this organization?
I love Lib.
Yeah,
Pete.
All the way to the top. How are you guys doing in this very, very cold weather? Pete, what's the Philadelphia experience like for you? I don't know if anyone knows this, but Pete's power went out last week while we were recording something, fully blacked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wondering if you jinxed us on that or how that worked.
Hey, Warwick, hello. How are you? Again, welcome.
Well, I'm glad we checked this was all working beforehand.
There's always problems. I've said this multiple times on the show. We're multiple years into a pandemic where people only relate over video chat, and we still haven't all figured it out. So someday, maybe in year 10 of the pandemic, we'll get it all done.
Don't put that out there.
Wow.
I control these things. Let's talk about Falcon Spear, though. This is such a cool, awesome, fun project. Just to clarify for anybody, this isn't necessarily part of the Mignola-verse or anything else, but it is spinning off of a book that you did with Mike Mignola, or a short story you did with Mike Mignola. Is that correct?
Yep. Yep. This is Mr. Higgins Comes Home was the start of this. And it is not Mignola-verse. It's not out-of-verse. This is out of it verse. This is I think this is us and the amazing Screw on Head, and I think we've got no attachments to anything else than go crazy.
Awesome.
That's great. You can cut loose.
What I love about this book, no, that's fine. I think we're on a little delay here, but don't worry about it. We'll compensate. What I love about this book is that it is scary. There's a bit of horror in it. But at the same time, it's kind of fun and funny and cheeky. And the way that you pace things out leads to a fair bit of comedy. How do you balance those two things in the book at the same time?
Oh, it's really tricky. But it was something that... Mike wrote the script. Mike wrote the first one. He wrote Mr. Higgins Comes Home, and the script had all those elements in it. And reading the script, I could see more of, you know, a lot of humor in his stuff. I mean, not like jokes all the way through, but there's moments. And in that script for Mr. Higgins, there was just lots of fun. I mean, some of it was pretty gruesome, gory fun, but it was lots of fun. And so I really wanted to make sure I sort of got that with the others. And so I think maybe something I've liked to, you know, to do. I think it's good to have a balance, to sort of, you know, some lighter moments and some darker moments, and then just sort of, as I say, some sort of outrageous gruesome bits as well. It's always fun to throw in.
Love the journey we kind of go on with the main characters. Very interesting the way, like, I'm trying not to spoil things for people who haven't read it. I highly recommend this. This is really amazing. I just love the kind of, like, we think we understand what's going on, and then there's this reveal after somebody kind of, you know, has this dilemma of, like, how do I get past this? And it was such a creative a conclusion to the story. We read so many comic books. I was really blown away with how this concludes and wraps up.
Oh, that's great. I mean, that's really cool to hear. You never quite know where these, you know, the books start, but I think probably it was, you know, this one was sort of almost through, not quite at the end, but halfway, you know, over halfway through was sort of the first ideas for it, and sort of, you know, what I wanted to do and what sort of story it was going to be, and then sort of tried to work it out from there. So you sort of get your main points. And so you just sort of, the time you spend working it out and sort of, you know, the writing of it, you sort of, at some stage, especially when you're in the thick of the artwork, you sort of trying to remember when you thought it was a good idea and hoping you were right when you were thinking it was a good idea, because it seemed like such a long time ago. So you sort of just having to try and make sure you've got faith in yourself from when you made those first decisions. I'm glad to hear you like it. Thank you.
So now, you said this is sort of in its own universe. Is this kicking off a much larger universe that we're going to get into?
There's no plans. I mean, yes, yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea, but I'm not publishing the books. You know, I got away with the first one was amazing. You know, a completely amazing thing to have happen, and I thought, having done that, I thought I'd got away with quite enough. But then I did a second, and now this, and so, you know, I'll keep chancing my arm. I'll keep pushing my luck, and see how many we do get. Mm. But there's loads. I mean, there's just drawing and writing these things. You know, every other page has got ideas on it that then aren't thinking of to turn into something else. And so, the Falcon Spear himself was a. Oh yeah.
No, go ahead. I was interrupting you. Please go ahead.
Oh no! I was only Falkenspear. James, the Falkenspear, the main character was. I got my comps. I got the box of Mr. Higgins and took them to a fairly local art fair and was excitedly trying to sell them. But of course, it wasn't the right sort of place to be selling that sort of book. But I was drawing characters to sell out with it, to, you know, just to sort of encourage people. And the first sort of iteration of Falkenspear was that day. So, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, they're just full of ideas and they're sort of coming from just, you know, the movies full of ideas anyway, so you keep going and going. I think
so. It just happened by chance. You were just sketching, and then something came into shape.
Yeah, well, I don't tend to have a. It's a weird. I don't tend to have an idea. I don't have an image of something in my head, which I then put down on paper. I've got ideas, which I then work out on paper. Oh, wow. So you'll end up drawing things like, I think, well, that looks interesting, or he looks cool, or she looks, you know, ace. And so, you know, you don't quite always know what you're going to turn up with. So it's the drawing of it as well. You're just having ideas for different bits.
I love hearing
whether
that.
Whether it's costume or how they stand, or whether you...
I love hearing that because my brain works in the exact opposite way. I feel like I always have to have it inside before it comes out. And to hear someone just like do it and then check it out is amazing.
Well, it kind of makes it entertaining for me.
Right. You're a fan of what you're doing. So,
because, well, yeah, I know. And so I sort of have lacked sort of, what's the word, competitiveness. And, you know, I can just amuse myself. It's a bit like, well, it is. I don't play video games. I don't need to. I waste enough time just drawing stuff, so, and that's what I'm not working still.
Time not wasted. This is amazing looking.
I did want to ask you about inspiration, sort of where the story comes from. I know we touched on that a little bit, but you're dealing with gothic ideas here. You're dealing with mysteries here. You're dealing with vampires here, which is very well-trodden territory, but I feel like you have found something fresh. How much of it is involved in racking your brains in terms of going like, okay, I'm dealing in this sphere that's been done, that's been done, that's been done, that's been done, that's been done. Okay, this is the thing that has not been done, and this is how I can find my unique spin on it.
We talked a bit about it with these Mr. Higgins, you know, came from a real. That's sort of common ground from the fact that I'm a massive Mignola fan and that work and his interest in that, but it's the way he draws his art before. But there's a very, you know, a common interest in Universal Monster Hammer, UK Hammer Horror and that sort of thing. And those sorts of worlds are just, you know, there full. And of course, they're sort of, you know, transporting from classic. And it gets into... particularly with the films, and we're talking about it, it's more my memory of the films, you know, mm-hmm. Rewatching them, they suddenly often turn out to be worse than I remember, or some of them are in places. But when you're watching a film and you think, well, that would have been better if so-and-so did this, or wouldn't it have been cool if that person, you know, blew up or didn't blow up, or, you know, it's... And so it's sort of going through those sorts of things, you know, all this sort of genre film stuff and thinking, well, that was great, but this could have happened. Because it's fun to play, you know, you don't want to just I don't want to make totally original stories as much as I want to tell stories in an original way, which I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If I'm being sensible, but I mean, I'd rather, because these are sort of, they're kind of, they are genres, so they're sort of playing with ideas. Although you start to go into rules of vampires and stuff like that, and you know, it's pretty much you can do what you want because everyone's decided thing might work and something else doesn't. So, and so that's fun.
What about your comedic influence?
Yeah, they're not necessarily all hard and fast rules.
Yeah.
Oh. wow. I hadn't thought about that. I'm completely blank. I can't think of anything.
Just you? It comes out of you.
Well,
there you go.
Just, yeah. No, my kids are my stupid dogs. And, well, no, there's not. I'll say many in 10 minutes' time. And like I say, it was reading the script, reading Mike Mignola's script for Mr. Higgins, you know. I was laughing, and you know, it was funny, and it was not, you know, it wasn't jokes. I think it's you know, they're just sort of like, you know, people doing, I don't know what the stupid thing is, I say people doing funny things.
I ask because I feel like it's so hard to write comedy in comics, and when someone does it, I'm so curious what they're sort of drawing from, and I feel like it is sort of like you're reading something else and like you're sort of taking it in sort of subconsciously even.
Yeah, I do a lot of just sort of watching people, you know. I do a lot of, for years I just figures, I did a straight work, I've done concept work for films like that, but I draw people and I was just keep an eye on people, what they do, and sort of that sort of thing, sort of funny situations, I guess, and sort of how, and people's really comical, and so it's just trying to translate that into sort of kind of write it down or draw it and hope it works. You know, this one was funny. The other two are a bit more. I mean, a bit more light in the other two. This one's just slightly darker. It's just a slightly sort of, which is funny because the first one sort of got quite a lot of, I'm not trying to think of the word, but you know, that's the first one's a sort of a tragedy kind of thing, but in a funny way.
Yeah.
This one's a bit gloomy, but I was sort of trying to put in some other light bits, put in some jokes without sort of breaking the balance or maybe suggesting it was going to turn out some other way than it.
Yeah, I think you definitely achieved that.
Well, let me ask you.
About 20 minutes time.
Not to keep challenging you with things, but just to move over to artistic style, just because I see in our comments here on Crowdcast, there's a lot of people trying to say, "Oh, your artistic style is like this. It's like this other thing." To me, it definitely looked like, and this is probably a very obvious influence, but to me it looked like Mike Mignola, but also by way of Kate Beaton a little bit, who I don't know if you're familiar with, sort of mixed together. Are those your influences at all, or who do you look to artistically?
They would be, obviously Mike way up there. Kate Beaton's ace, great work. And so you definitely... there too, but sort of it looked to everyone to see, always keep an eye out on what people are doing. I like and sort of seeing you have a good, again, just sort of working out what it is I like. So it's just you see something that looks awesome, and so then I spend a bit of time trying to work out what is it I like about it, you know, what's it doing differently or what's it doing well, my art, I can't draw a bowl of fruit in a fantastic fashion and then draw it in my style. I just only draw that way. And this way is kind of just sort of drawing a lot since, as far as I can remember, just sort of grabbing ideas that I've seen, you know, off everyone who's any good, you know, and that started off in the UK, you know, 2000 AD, the anthology comic with some of those amazing artists there and so many different styles from the same before you. But it's always just sort of like looking at how people are doing things that, you know, you don't like drawing, you know, don't like drawing hands or don't like drawing noses or something like that. So I spend time having a look at where people do it and how they do it, and usually find cheap somewhere or other, which is brilliant because then you can just do the same thing. Shadow under the tree, so you don't have to draw any of the notes, just draw a bit of a shadow underneath. That's it. And after a bit, you sort of start picking up different styles, version of how to do things, whether it's comics or, you know, fine art or, you know, anything, or cartoons on the telly. And so it all sort of pulls together, and that's what my style is. That's how it's got to where it is, or that's how the way I draw. So it's just a load of decisions, good ones or bad ones. And I think it'll keep changing sort of slightly.
Yeah,
but sure. But well, yeah, no, definitely Mike Winola and Kate Beaton's just works great. So
awesome. Well, this book is tremendous.
Really unbelievable.
Yeah, really great.
Such a blast reading it.
Yes.
Before we let you go.
Thanks. That's ace.
Yeah. Is there anything else coming up that you want to plug in particular other than Falcon Spear?
There is a cold check at Store Starter, which I am artwork for, coming up.
Nice.
Wow, the Kickstarter is running now, actually. I need to point that out.
We had him on last week.
And not helpful, quite enigmatic, but there is a series I will be working on for a brand new publishing partnership, which will be announced later this year. So there's not much I can say about it because they're going to do their announcing. So there's more work and original story coming from me for that. So, which is pretty exciting stuff.
It's great.
Well, cool. Warwick, thank you so much for coming on. Please go to sleep because we kept you up late enough as it is. And again, the book is great.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Warwick.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, take care.
Good
scene. All right, there we go. That is Warwick Johnson Conwell. The book is called Falcon Spear. It's out right now from Dark Horse Comics, and it is very, very fun. A good, rollicking, old-timey adventure that you definitely should check out. And now we're going to move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah!
And for audience questions, I see a couple of you have already done this, but if you're over on YouTube, drop a question down in the YouTube comments. Here on Crowncast, drop it and ask a question. And tell you what, normally at this point, we usually do something that we're drinking, but we've already done that unless, Justin, you moved on to a brewski, right?
A brew dogger? I did. Oh, there's no label on it.
A generic brown beer.
No, it's a...
It was an old man on the street handed to me.
It's the Brooklyn Sour, the Bel Air Sour, which is something I fancy. Like.
Yes. I want to like sours, but they make me sick for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. That's the alcohol in there. Can't have
because
too much
I drink
of them.
15 or 16 of them. I get it.
Well, it's because you like pumpkin beer, so your body's attuned to that. And when you drink something that's the opposite of that, your body's like, whoa.
I'll tell you what. One thing I'll mention that I'm not drinking this week that I did get, there's a Irish cream stout from Southern Tier. So good.
You love it.
So good. Highly recommended. Let's move to some questions here. This is from Charlie Billings over on Crowdcast. Don't you fellas have some sort of comedy background? What is that exactly? Comics? Also, who are you? Some stand-up comedians that you guys like? I may have added the emphasis there myself, but yes, we do have a comedy background. Do you guys want to... Who wants to take this one? Justin?
We met in the comedy world here in New York City. I came up through the Upright Citizens Brigade as an improviser and sketch guy, UCB guy.
UCB.
Got into writing sketch, writing for TV. I still work in TV and stuff
as
like
that. As a line
that.
Producer.
not a line producer, just about to start a new show, another comedy show. So came up through comedy, doing comedy.
And will go down through comedy.
I'll die doing comedy. Yeah. I'm going to fall back down to tragedy soon. Like, finally, it's coming.
Oh, man. Don't stretch it out, dude. Stretch it out.
I know, Pete.
So, yes, and some fave stand-up comics.
No, but Pete, talk about you guys have to talk about your comedy background, too.
No, I think that covered it.
Yeah, I think that's good enough. That I mean, we're not. Yeah, that's right. That's all we need.
Same as Justin. Go
same.
Ahead.
Same.
Yeah, no, same. That's not shout out to Kevin in the comments. I do a weekly character show every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock with Just for Laughs called Characters Welcome. Check it out.
Hmm. Yeah, I started mostly in sketch comedy. I was in a group called Elephant Larry for a while. Another one called
Epic Three Jews
and a Persian. Thank you. And I was artistic director of the People's Improv Theater, which is how we met.
And Jeff and Jeff and Jeff.
And then I've been doing this show for 15 years. So there you go. Pete?
Oh, man. I did stand up for long time.
We all sound so
good.
We like doing this.
Yeah, yes.
I want to be reminding you.
Did
I just don't want to bore everybody with every little bit of
nuance. It's nice. It's nice.
Yeah. We were doing shit in New York City, and then we met up and started doing this shit.
But, Pete, you're also a successful storyteller. Which is a form of comedy, I would say.
Oh, sure, yeah. Did storytelling as well, yep.
Storytelling with some moth stuff. We have
you won
comment.
A couple of times, right?
Yeah, that's right, twice, yeah.
We have a comment from someone who...
Oh, man, I did... this is a funny story. I did... Justin was doing a show at UCB, and, like, I decided to go up and tell the story, and Justin, like, on stage was like, hey, this is the story that you won with. I was like, no, this is a new story. He looked at me like, why would you... not tell the story that you won with. It was so funny. It did not do as well. I should have done this.
Yeah.
That story,
I put Pete on my show for a sold out audience, and he decided to try out some new material.
New material.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh man.
And any stand up comics that you guys are particularly liking right now?
Ooh, it's a tough time for stand-ups who aren't already famous.
I'll throw out one. There was one I saw do a comedy concert the other day named Che Diaz. They're
get out of here.
Very
wrong,
talented.
Wrong crowd. No, okay. I barely get that. And I know what you're talking about. I'm going to shout out a good friend of mine, Allison Leiby. She had a show... Oh God, an hour about abortion this past year that the New York Times wrote up. Great stand-up, doing a lot of stuff. Who else? Rojo Perez, another great stand-up who did my show for many years. Those are two New York faves.
All right, there we go. Pete, you got any picks?
I just saw the Lewis Black special on Amazon. It was pretty funny.
Cool. This is from Hugo Sanchez over on
YouTube. Hey, Hugo! What's up?
Hey, guys. Man? Now that the series is wrapped, what did you think about Crush and Lobo? Also, can we talk about how great John Cena is in Peacemaker?
Yes. Nice.
Yes, John Cena is fantastic.
Crush and Lobo, I really liked. I thought that comic had such a good sort of... narrative drive. Yeah, the tone and the way the sort of the story was told, I thought was great.
Yeah.
And John Cena, Peacemaker? Yeah.
Yeah, man, dude, you can't see me. It was Peacemaker's very enjoyable. I'm on the second episode. Also just
is that because between each episode you have to stop to watch Ted Lasso in its entirety twice?
Each time, yeah, exactly. Okay. It takes a while. But also, the Crush and Lobo was enjoyable. I thought it was fun. I was a little disappointed they kept them a little too separate. Like, I really wanted more interaction from them. But, great series. More Lobo stuff, please.
Space Wolverine.
Excellent.
Stop it.
This one, another one from YouTube. This is from Nelson Martinez. Did you guys enjoy the Moon Knight trailer? I know nothing of the character, so I'd like to hear your guys' take on him in general. And if you're anticipating the show, do you guys check out the highly anticipated Moon Knight trailer that debuted last night?
Yeah.
In the midst of Monday Night Football, Alex.
In the what midst a of a full crossover. Moon.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What's it? I like the trailer. Is a full moon? The show feels like it's of the Marvel shows so far, it feels like it's what? Red Moon Knight and was like, oh, that's cool, but we're going to sort of do our own thing where it's like a guy who's losing his mind wakes up and continues to realize that he's a superhero. So it feels I would have liked more white three-piece suit as opposed to the sort of mummy wrap costume we saw.
Toothman Prime who dressed up in the white suit a bunch.
That was my one big quibble with it was clearly they've changed it to like some sort of mystical mummy wrap suit, like you're saying. Yeah. And I'm sure it'll be great. I'll be on board. I'll watch every episode. It's fine. So like, this is all whatever. But at the same time, I'm not usually one for contrarian Marvel takes because I feel like a particular film Twitter is like Marvel stupid and I hate to all Marvel no matter what. But yeah. I did see somebody from Phil Twitter posted a thing where I was like, all right, I think this is actually pretty accurate that they were into it until he got into a generic superhero costume and started doing superhero stuff. And I agree. Up to that point, I was like, this feels, not to call out another superhero show, but this feels like Legion in terms of mindfuckery, in terms of what's happening. And I love that. Like, I loved all the stuff that was going on there, all the visual things with him walking by the reflecting pieces of glass and leaving several of his reflections behind. All of that stuff, not knowing where his mind is or his identity. So cool. So much fun. And as soon as it became what we really like derisively sometimes call them in comics in terms of just being white suit Batman, I was like, all right, this is fine. I'll still be on board. I'll like this, but I didn't like it quite as much.
Well, and here's the thing. We don't know the take. That may be a purposeful, like goofy superhero costume. And maybe we will get the white suit. It does feel like a show that is trying to do knows what it's trying to do with sort of a man falling through his own perception or whatever. Love Oscar Isaac. This could be a continuation of the scenes from A Marriage Universe. We don't know that. I'm excited.
As someone who reads a lot of Moon Knight comics, I would like to say that there are different kinds of Moon Knight that I love. I love the, so I'm not going to say what Zalbin says because I think it's bullshit to compare him to Batman, but I do think that
he's rich and he's damaged.
You had your time. You talk.
The shot of him beating the dude is exactly the same as the shot of Batman beating the dude in that trailer.
I guess you keep talking.
100%.
I thought you were about to take your shirt off for some reason, Pete. The way you tucked your hands under your
the Pete won't listen to what the Alex is saying.
Yeah, I feel like Moon Knight. I'm losing my fucking mind over here. You had your time. I would like to talk a little bit about the fact that...
And go ahead, but I just want to establish that we're actually three personalities of the same guy. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah. Senator Pete, your time has been reclaimed.
Oh, God. I really... If we were in the same place, I would punch you. I just think
That's why I love this pandemic.
Yeah, you can't punch through these digital rectangles yet. Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, great news. Zoom has invented some new technology where you can punch people. We have a fist. It just comes out of your computer like boop, like that.
I would pay money so I could do that too. So much money.
Speak your truth.
There have been many different forms of Moon Knight. There have been the crazy Moon Knight struggling with, is this all real? Is he in just an insane asylum? There's been the more action-oriented. There's been the hilarious Moon Knight who will rip quips and stuff like that. I have loved all of them. If it's done well, I just want them to kind of try not to do too many different Moon Knights. Try to pick a kind of lane for Moon Knight. This is going to be the Moon Knight that's, you know, losing his mind. We don't know what's up or down. Fine, great. Let's go with that. But I do think that the trailer looked amazing. They got a lot of talent so far. Everything's been hit. So I don't know why a person like Zalbin would even try to quip about it.
Quip. All we do is quip. Well, I mean, I think we're all generally on board with almost everything. So any one of these small quibbles, quips and quibbles are just little for only the very rarefied differences between these great things that we love. Yes. Ethan Hawke's hair looks weird, though.
Bye. It does look weird.
It's a character choice. Who cares if his hair looks
weird? He's wearing, caked on makeup or something. It's very strange.
He looks like Nicolas Cage in, the 90s.
That's the character he's playing.
He looks like he's some other guy wearing an Ethan Hawke mask.
Robbing a bank in an Ethan Hawke costume. Yeah. Like, before sunrise, just robbed the bank. Julie Delp in a Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke mask?
Well, weird. Wow. All right, this is from Stray Bullet. Tom King is very good at taking characters that live sort of in the sidelines and elevating them through great stories. Mm-hmm. Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow is an excellent example. Yeah, are there any characters you'd love to get a similar treatment?
Lobo. This is a great question. Was that?
Lobo.
Yeah, what?
What would be better than a 12-issue prestige book where Lobo is just very depressed the entire time and doesn't do a whole lot of things.
Yeah, his space motorcycle doesn't start or something. And he struggles with that.
I'll throw out, I think our guest from last week, Mark Russell, is using it very well, but I do think a Red Tornado series from Tom King could be pretty good. He certainly wants to live in that Justice League International. What year is that? Like late 80s, early 90s, something around then?
The JLI, and then later
He definitely wants to live and reevaluate that era. I assume that's when he was mostly reading comics, and that's why he sort of wants to deconstruct all of that. But anything from there, Tom Tormey in the comments calls out Plastic Man. I think that's a great
That's a good one, well.
Along of what Pablo Martinez is saying with Teen Titans, I would love to see a Beast Boy, Cyborg, Perfect Strangers kind of thing, but really just a sad and melancholy.
You want Tom King to do that?
Yeah.
Nice. Perfect Strangers, they find out they're related and they live together?
Sure. Yeah.
My answer is Jimmy Olsen.
Boo.
Give me that Jimmy Olsen breakdown series.
Yeah, he could do he hasn't really done anything about, I was going to say he hasn't really done anything about news. Strange Adventures kind of dealt with that in terms of manipulating the media. But I think to your point, something with a Daily Planet series, maybe. I think he could do a good job.
That would be very cool.
Let's see. This is Kevin. What's the craziest deep dive you've ever taken into fandom?
What does that mean? The craziest deep dive into fandom? Into our own fandom? Or been obsessed? What's something we've been obsessed
with? Yeah, I think some we've been
obsessed with. Or is it something, a fandom that we've explored? Because I've certainly done that a lot. Checked out fandoms and gone deeper into them to kind of understand what's going on.
You talking about the DC fandom?
Yeah, I lived in there. I slept in there for the whole year between the two iterations of the DC fandom.
Yeah, your wife kicked you out and you went to live in the fandom, right?
Yeah, it was just me and Tiffany Smith and The Rock.
Wow. Deep series of deep cuts. You know, I did a pilot with her once.
Oh, yeah?
Back in the day for Spike, where we did comics.
Oh, that's right.
Have you gone undercover into fandoms?
No, I haven't gone undercover in fandoms, but I think there's times, particularly when I'm covering on a show and those fandoms suddenly discover, I am covering that show. I like to have a better understanding of what's going on there, particularly so that I'm not relating to the wrong people in the wrong way. And what I mean by that is in any fandom, there's going to be very negative elements. So I try to be as savvy as possible in terms of not just blindly responding to people or talking to them, because it might be something that I'm buying into that has a very negative connotation in terms of that fandom. So certainly Riverdale, we've all dove pretty deeply into that fandom, I think, and become pretty involved in that. But also other CW fandoms. I've certainly explored the Flash fandom a bit. I try not to get involved in either Star Trek or Star Wars fandoms because there's such horrible toxic elements in there. I just I don't want to be involved. And Walking Dead fandom is one that I think, like, I've tried to explore a little bit, but I've never quite gotten. So I understand what they're talking about, but I don't spend a lot of time relating to it.
That is a lot, but that's good. I guess, I mean, let me say I read the Silmarillion, so that's an unnecessary depth into the Tolkien verse. But I guess the fandom.
Please explain what the fuck you just said. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's what I did. I'm too deep for Pete. But I think the fandom I've actually gotten in the deepest on is Pete LePage, exploring the underside of his life and all of the weird intricacies and different houses he's burned down with his friends.
Try to keep things shallow. You know what I mean? I don't try to go too deep on stuff.
Yeah, I know. But we know. We know you're like a little pond who's like, I'm a pond, but we know that you're a weird lake. You're like a sinkhole and we got to get underneath.
I do think, I mean, the easy answer here is comic book fandom. Like we're pretty steeped in that, I would say.
Yeah.
Just a little.
I mean, I don't have much space for other fandoms besides all the rooting through all the minutia stuff that we
and
are.
We're not even that steeped in it. Like, we don't spend a lot of time going into fan quibbles that are happening on the side on Reddit or whatever or anything like that. Like, there's all of those things, and there's all the fandoms within the comic book fandom. Like, I'm always fascinated when I accidentally stumble across something in X-Men fandom, and those are people that only care about X-Men, or Spider-Man fandom, or Batman fandom, or any of those things. People, like, I found, I think we were talking about this the other day, not the other day, but a couple of weeks ago when we were doing the Hawkeye podcast, or actually, I don't think we talked about this. This is at work. I stumbled over a Twitter account that's just all about Mockingbird, and it's a person that has, like, multiple times a day posting stuff just about the character Mockingbird from Marvel Comics.
Man, big.
That's a level of dedication that honestly is very impressive to me, and I don't think I could ever reach.
But I feel like that's something that's all-encompassing. Like, a dedication to that means you don't have a lot of other space for more variety of things because you're so dedicated. Like, Alex, you and ElfQuest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to mention Luana Nana says erotica fanfic fandoms. And yes, ElfQuest erotica fanfic fandoms is my big fandom, but I don't like
it. You lost a couple of years to that, right? Where it just vanished off the radar.
Yeah, 100%. I went deep undercover there.
We had to hire that.
That's
Alex
why my wife kicked me out and I had to leave the fandom.
We had to hire an Alex impersonator for truly a year of this podcast. See if you can pick out when he started.
He was wearing, it was actually Ethan Hawke wearing a me mask.
Oh boy.
And that's you in Moon Knight wearing an Ethan Hawke mask.
Absolutely. I hope you enjoy my performance. All right. This is.
Wait, what about Pete's fandom?
Oh, yeah. Pete's fandom is Mountain Dew, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, you are in way too deep on that.
Great. Is there, I mean, just, I do think this is really interesting. Just, Pete, is there like, is there a sports team that you know too much about or something that you've gotten way too deep on?
I mean, I go deep on different things. Like, I think the first thing I kind of like lost my mind about was Douglas Adams, and I had to know everything about that guy. And then it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it was just like I had to have every issue. I had to know all the things. So yes, Stray Bullies, Ted Lasso, you know, maybe I'm on a couple of Twitter accounts that I shouldn't be, but whatever, you know, like, it's cool. You know, people love Ted Lasso and I like to be a part of that. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton of free time, but you know, when you love something, you know it immediately. And for me, it's like, as soon as I see something, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be huge. It was like Murder Falcon. I just had to read the first issue and I knew, like, this is like my new jam. I'm a fucking rock this.
As a fan of Pete, I'm excited to hear about the you, Pete, gazing at the abyss of Ted Lasso Twitter and what looks back at you.
I mean, I would try to keep things positive when it comes to something I love. I'm not going to get involved in the other side of it. It's just all like, you know, because Ted Lasso is such a moving thing that also the Twitter tends to be super supportive and moving and, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, it's not to keep talking about this, but I really do think fandoms are absolutely fascinating. It's something that I think about all the time. I also think about like we're sort of getting to here, talking around the different levels of fandom and what you think is you being in a fandom versus what is actually being in a fandom. And there's very, not that I've ever been on another podcast, but I was on another podcast talking about Star Trek.
How dare you?
I know, I'm sorry, guys. I was talking about Star Trek, and I always feel very uncomfortable about Star Trek because there's like, I remember, in my opinion, the basics about things, but I can't like call out specific episodes. And there's certainly alien races that I forget and continuity things that I forget. And I was talking about it. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. You know, like, I think like I'm kind of a casual fan. And the person who was hosting the podcast called me out. They're like, over the course of this podcast, you have mentioned every single series of Star Trek. You've seen all the movies multiple times. You're wearing a Star Trek hat and like a communicator. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, okay. But even that level to me, like, I'm
Alex,
not going to
be over here like Darmok and Gillard at Tanagra.
But the thing is like that, you know, there's things that like, I don't know. There's different levels to fandom, but I think it's fascinating. We're like, I would call Pete is a hardcore Ted Lasso fan, but he's not on Ted Lasso Twitter. He's not posting Reddit or Tumblr memes or anything like that. But yeah,
he's rewatching the series over and over again.
Constantly.
A total normal person would.
Yeah, there you go. So I don't know. Fandom is very interesting to me. There wasn't necessarily a point there. No. You did a little bit.
No, that's from a very specific episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. I'm a Next Generation guy, but I don't speak Klingon.
Yeah. And it's all fine. I mean, if anybody is listening to this, you are... Well, no. I think it's important because there's like... I don't know who listens to this podcast, but if you're listening to this podcast and you feel like you are not a fan of something, if you like something, you're a fan of it. And if you want to talk about the thing, you're a fan of it, and that's it, and you're in the fandom. You don't have to be like, I have an encyclopedic knowledge of this thing. It's just enjoying a thing makes you a fan of the thing, and that's it.
Yeah. But show us your full back tat of the Fifth Doctor.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah. You were asking me, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, I was talking to my wife. My bad.
Yeah. Pablo says, Friends fandom too. And yes, Pablo, you're part of my Friends fandom.
Maybe he means the TV show Friends, Alex.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. I'm sorry. I've never heard of that. This is from Rich. Pete, thoughts on the new Punisher logo? I know you talked about it when it first was announced, but any further thoughts now that a couple of weeks removed?
Well, I want to read it to kind of believe it, but, you know, it's a temporary, you know, just like how the Punisher was, you know, this cosmic kind of like ghost hunter thing for a little while. It was a temporary badass run. I'm hoping this is another cool badass look for Punisher. We'll see. Time will tell. I mean, I won't until I'm like in it, I won't have any other kind of things to kind of say about it. But, you know, it's fun to see people taking Punisher in new places. Hopefully don't make me angry.
Well, how do you feel about my speaking of fandoms, my Mephisto redesign here and my Mephisto fandom that I'm rocking?
Yeah, not cool, dude. Nobody likes Mephisto.
Speaking of shirts, though, let's end with this question from Luana Nana. Where did Pete get his cool new shirt?
Oh my god. don't respond.
Great question.
Don't read your questions.
Interesting. Where did you get your cool new shirt, Pete?
And what is your cool new shirt? Please describe it. You held it up, and I noticed it was new.
It's a Wolverine t-shirt. We went down to South Street in Philly and Atomic City Comics. We went in there to check it out. It was a pretty cool comic book shop. I'm trying to make my way around all the Philly shops. You know, I'm a fan of comic shops. I love going into a comic shop. Every comic shop has a different vibe, a different thing. This was definitely like a cool kid's place for sure. Whereas a Midtown Comics is not going to kind of like judge you when you walk in the door, but, still, they had a lot of amazing stuff in there. So It's hard not to spend your money.
There's someone with a similar name from the question, Liwana Nana, post in the comments. I keep trying to get him recognized. This is Pete LePage of Comic Book Club.
It's not fun with her in the shop when
she's just trying. Pointing at you.
Talk louder. Maybe someone will recognize your voice.
I was back in Syracuse this past weekend and went into the formerly the Carousel Mall, now Destiny, the name of the mall. And there's a
change.
Comic
it's not the Carousel Mall anymore.
No, they call it Destiny. It's sort of bad. But
is there still a carousel?
There is still a carousel. Okay, so feel free to ride. But went to the comic book store there with my two daughters, and I couldn't pay attention because I was chasing them around the entire time. So I had a real moment of how the times have changed.
You weren't like you couldn't get them to stand at attention, like act like it's a church or something, like hands behind
your
like, back.
So,
like...
girls, this is, and they were both running in two different directions. I was like, "That's not, don't touch all that stuff." And then, I was like, "We had to get out of here."
Yeah,
good times. All right, we are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia, and for that, I'm going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right,
Pete LePage, the America's eulogist.
Oh boy! that's fun. You guys are having fun. Do we have a lucky person we're pulling in, or is this?
Yes, we absolutely do. Tom Torme is the contestant tonight, and if you want to compete on trivia and win a $25 gift card, all you have to do is submit to the comics. Here's Tom.
Hey!
Wow! Hello! Thank you very much.
Tom, with the shelf porn flex behind
you. Yeah. Thank you. I had to try something. I had to do something.
I like the Skeletor. You got the Iron Man back there. Ooh, look at those Godzillas.
Yeah, Slimer lurking in the back there.
Slimer, look at that, man. Oh, yeah, Baby cool. Yoda. All right, cool.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you.
You win. $25 is
yours. $25, that's it.
Awesome.
All right, well, today's trivia is sponsored by Midtown Comics. You will win a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend, Sidney Poitier, R.I.P. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. The X-Men are going back to the 90s with the new title blank. Is it A, Pogs, B, X-Men 92, or C, Christy Alley? So it's either A, don't pick it, but really timely, or is it B, X-Men 92?
B sounds fantastic. I'll go with B.
You are correct, sir. All right.
Great day of my life.
Question number two. DC announced that they are going back to Flashpoint with blank. Is it A, Flashpoint Beyond, or is it B, Flashpoint Returns, or is it C, Clancy Brown? So it's either A, or you could pick B or C.
I'll go with A, Flashpoint Beyond.
All right. Here we go. Nice. Last one.
Nailed it.
In The Devil's Reign, New Villains for Hire number one, the villains hit blank. Is it A, the Met Gala, B, a new understanding of themselves, or is it C, Frederick Coffin? So it's either A and $25 are yours, or you could be completely wrong and get nothing.
I'll go with A, the Met Gala.
Hey, there you go. Wow. $25.
Tom, amazing work. Awesome. Congratulations, Tom. You're going to get $25 to Midtown Comics. And to anybody listening out there, all you have to do is fill out a form. We put it up on at Comic Book Live or in the comments here on Crowdcast and YouTube. And you can play as well. But Tom, do you have a guess what secret movie Pete was indicating that Sidney Poitier was in
with Kirstie Alley?
With Kirstie Alley, apparently.
Oh gosh! No, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank with the Kirstie Alley. You know, I was going to guess a famous one, but you lost me at Kirstie Alley.
It was
Guess who's coming to Cheers? Was that it?
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. It's the 1988 hit "Shoot to Kill." Tom Berenger.
Oh, of course, yes. That
great. I believe they carry that at Midtown Comics. If you want to pick it up, Tom,
or grab yourself a Godzilla if you've got space.
Oh yeah,
love it, love it. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Thanks for coming on. Have a great night, Tom.
You too, guys. Thank you.
Later.
All right.
There we go. Shelf. I couldn't not look. I think it's pretty awesome.
Honestly, no, whatever you do, don't look at the guests, Pete.
I was just like looking past him like, oh, my God, that looks like Batman.
Honestly, as the star of trivia, you seemed a little bit that wasn't your best performance.
Wow,
it wasn't
really?
Your best performance. You seemed a little distracted. And honestly, we almost pulled you for the understudy.
Wow.
Speaking of which,
I'll do better next time.
Not at all.
No, I don't. You're a star. There's no your star still shines.
Lots of comics coming out this week. Lots of things to choose from. What are you guys looking forward to, Justin?
Me?
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm looking forward to, I mean, the Silver Coin is coming out.
One of my,
I have great book, great art, great stories. This one is by our guy, Matthew Rosenberg.
Really?
Yeah. Looking forward to hear and see his take. I feel like it's going to have a really interesting panel theme running through it. And of course, let me also shout out Homesick Pilots, a book that constantly feels like it's going off the rails, and yet they find other rails that we did not see coming. Like all trains, there are other rails for it to ride.
Speaking of which, Snowpiercer season 3 coming very soon.
Wow. Alex, you're really on Twitter. You are really holding the torch for Snowpiercer.
Absolutely. I don't know. Season 2 was pretty good. Pete, what are you looking forward to that's coming out this week?
A Righteous Search for Vengeance number 4 and Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow number 7. Just absolutely spectacular comics.
Great. I'm looking forward to She-Hulk number 1 just because I always like She-Hulk. Right. But also, Rainbow Rowell, who I absolutely love, is writing it. Did a great job. If you don't know her novel work, she wrote on Runaways recently and did a fantastic run there. So really, really interested to see what she's going to do with one of my favorite characters in Marvel. And folks, that is it for this week's show.
Thanks for listening, Justin Swan.
We want to thank our two guests on the show. We want to thank Rich Wosicki. Go check out Deadbeats and Miscreants on Kickstarter now. Also, Warwick Johnson Cadwell. Check out Falcon Spear from Dark Horse Comics out
amazing.
Now.
Yeah, check it out.
Great.
Next week on the show, Reese Prosser is going to be here to talk about NJXP. Also, Chris Dunn, friend of the show, is going to be here to talk about Our Truth. So it'll be fun to have him back. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show and all the shows we do, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow. Don't forget to leave us a comic book review request in the iTunes reviews at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and many more. Until next time, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Take care of yourself out there.
Sit on crappy couches and